On the couch with psychotherapist Frank Rubino, and today's topic, the dangers of modern cannabis. That's right, you heard right, cannabis. That legal drug in some states, including Michigan. All right, let's tackle this. Of course, there are dangers with alcohol. There are dangers with over-the-counter medicine. There's danger everywhere that we walk. What kind of danger does cannabis present, Frank?
Well, Lucianne, you kind of teed that up for me there. You're right. Alcohol, other drugs, there's lots of danger in a lot of those things. And the interesting thing, I'm glad you brought up alcohol because I was going to. There was a time in the not too distant past when psychotherapists would encourage people to use cannabis as opposed to alcohol because the dangers of alcohol were so great and so prevalent. And the dangers of cannabinoids at the time, not as bad, not so much for lots of reasons. The addictive nature wasn't there. A number of the features of the drug weren't there. The problem that we're having now is that back in the up until the late 1990s, the hottest cannabinoids you could get, the cannabis that had the most THC, which is the active ingredient that causes the euphoria that people want it for, was about 12%. Now, with the way that the cannabis strains are created and crossbred for higher THC levels, and the extracts, the butters, the oils, the extracts from the cannabinoids, we're seeing up to 98% THC.
Wow.
This is an incredible amount of THC, and then you take that, it's particularly dangerous for developing brains. So the adolescent, early adulthood brain, not really capable of handling that type of THC.
So how did we get to here where we have legalized this in a stronger format?
So this is the interesting thing, I think, historically speaking on this. When for decades and decades and decades, when cannabis first became illegal, it was not made illegal because it was so dangerous. It was the Dow chemical, because they had just invented nylon, and the cotton industry that was afraid of hemp, and it was the paper industry that was afraid of hemp.
Because they thought this was going to take over their industries.
Yeah, because hemp, which is one of the versions of cannabis, it's the type you can't smoke. There's no THC available in it, but it grows a lot faster than trees do. And the fibers that they could make clothing and a number of other items out of was more durable and cheaper to produce than cotton. And so you had all these moneyed up people who had lots of investments in things like cottons and nylon, which Dow Chemical came up with, and paper, were able to pay off, I will use the term pay off, or you might say sway our government leaders to make hemp and cannabis illegal. And they did it because they convinced them that the psychological damage from smoking cannabis was going to destroy the country. So there was a little bit of a shell game, I think, that happened there. And then the other thing that happened is that people who had been smoking cannabis forever said, "Wow, you guys are lying about the dangers of this drug." And then up until very recently, it became so, I think because of the internet was a big part of it, is that people said, "Look, we've been smoking this drug for thousands of years. It's not that dangerous." And they put so much pressure on the elected officials, they had no choice but to make it legal. And when they made it legal, it opened up the door for them to start crossbreeding and creating more and more potent.
Why can't that be regulated then? Alcohol is regulated in such a way, correct me if I'm wrong, but can you only have a certain percentage of alcohol in alcoholic beverages?
Sure. So there's, yeah, so the whiskeys and that type is still regulated by the federal government. I think the cat's out of the bag now. I think it's too late for them to start trying to pull the reins in on the cannabis.
Except for the fact that it is not legalized by the federal government. It's on a new scale recently. It was classified differently, but it still is illegal federally.
Yeah, and I think this is where you have this problem between states' rights and federal rights, and things get a little dicey and murky when you start messing with that part. And I think that the government lied for so long that I think people just got tired of it and said, you know what, on this topic, we're just not going to listen to what the government says anymore.
Well, my argument is, if the feds were able to legalize it, they'd be able to control it and the amount of THC that's in it.
Well, that's been the argument for a very long time. You legalize it, then you can exert some kind of control over it, and then you also take the seedy characters who've been made very wealthy and very powerful on the illegal end out of business. So that's what the government did when they got rid of prohibition of alcohol, because at the time, the people who were producing it, some of them were a little seedy in nature. That was the rise of the Italian mafia, and not just that, with a number of mafias, a number of organized criminal elements and organizations rose through the power of that. And when it was made legal again, a lot of those guys had to shift gears.
You sound like you're arguing for cannabis, yet you have said the title of this segment is The Dangers of Cannabis. So which is it?
Well, it's both. I do feel that that people should have the right to, you know, put in their bodies what they want. I'm a big fan of people having the ability to make their own choices. But what I'm not a big fan of is people being lied to about what they're taking. And there are a number of young people who are taking what they think is simple cannabis, and it is not. It is a much, much heavier and much more serious drug than they have any idea what they're taking. In fact, 20% of new admissions to emergency room psychiatric wards are because of cannabis use.
So let's talk about it from that perspective. We're talking with psychotherapist Frank Rubino on the Lucy Ann Lance Show, 1290 WLBY. What does cannabis do to you psychologically?
Yeah. So some of the new, some of these heavy THC percentage, high THC percentage drugs, what happens, Lucienne, is that you wind up with what we refer to oftentimes as a drug-induced psychotic state or drug-induced psychosis. And it's a very dangerous experience for people. People can have all kinds of physical damage to themselves and even psychological trauma after experiencing this. And sometimes the psychosis doesn't end. So depending on somebody's DNA makeup and how maybe susceptible they are to some of this damage.
Well, what dictates that? Because there are a lot of people who smoke marijuana who this does not happen to. Yeah. Is this a buildup of it over years? Is it the brand or the THC content that might trigger it? You mentioned genetics. What is it?
Yeah, well, we're really not sure. That's part of the problem, is we're not sure yet what this is all about. It turns out the brain's very complicated, and especially when you start adding substances to it that affect the psychology of the mind. This is becomes a very difficult thing to pin down, especially now that it's only been a few years since these high percentage THCs have been available, particularly to young people. And that's one of the catch 22 here with the legalization. It probably should have been legalized a long time ago in terms of, you know, people's personal use. The problem is that it makes it more accessible to younger brains that are not fully developed and should absolutely have nothing to do with alcohol or cannabis.
Yeah. When you think about alcohol and how there are people that react differently to it, someone can have a lot of alcohol and it doesn't impact them very much. Other people get addicted to it and it becomes a huge problem and messes with their brains, and they go off the deep end, and some never recover. You know, we've seen alcoholism and what it does to people. So given that, we haven't really learned that much in order to apply that to this drug cannabis, unfortunately. Why not?
Well, I for a number of reasons. One, you mentioned a couple of things there. So there are some environmental factors. There are some genetic factors. There are some biological factors. There are a lot of things that are hard to put our finger on as far as what is the single cause. It probably isn't one. But the other thing that to think about here is that when – this is where I would caution anybody. If your walk around self is in such a state that you need to add a substance of some kind to make – your life livable, that's the problem. I think when you have to reach for a substance, we should probably hit the pause button right there and get that part figured out, whether it's alcohol or cannabis or sugars or who knows what it is.
Ooh, now you've got my trigger, sugar.
Well, you want to talk about a substance that ought to be regulated and controlled.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. You know, the way the brain acts on sugar, our brains were never designed for the kind of sugars that we get in our foods. It doesn't know what to do with it when it gets all these fake sugars and fake sweeteners and hyper sweeteners and, you know, high fructose corn, all the stuff that our bodies were never designed to take in, to consume. And what that does to the human brain, wow.
So what we're talking about here is the destruction of the human brain by these substances,
are. That's essentially what we're talking about. And I think so much of it is moved and motivated by our psychology that's where I'm interested in.
Yeah.
You know, let the other scientists work on what happens physiologically. I'm interested in what A, draws people to it, and B, what keeps them there.
So what do you think it is, whether it's sugar or cannabis or alcohol? Why do we do this to ourselves?
Well, I think different things motivate us in different ways. I think that the first human beings stumbled across some overripe fruit, discovered that, for a minute they weren't so anxious. I mean, life for early human beings was really rough. It was this is a very dangerous place to live. And I think anxiety is just really baked into the cake of the psychology of human beings. And also fear of very real things and physical injury. And the substances that we've discovered over time ease the pain of anxiety and fear and physical pain. And so I think it's been a very natural progression.
Wow,
for
that's
us to
interesting.
Drift toward it, yeah.
Now we've come to my favorite part of On the Couch with psychotherapist Frank Rubino. When I ask him what the bottom line is here, I want help for people. What can they do then?
Yeah. Well, so a couple things. First, if you haven't started dabbling in it, please don't. That's the first thing. Secondly, I would say to spread the word for young people. This is not your grandfather's weed. This is a very serious and new modern drug. And then I would say for people who are drawn to being outside of themselves, I would say let's get that part figured out before we start reaching for substances to take us out of that pain. Let's find ways of dealing with that don't involve adding substances to us that are ultimately going to be very dangerous for us.
I think I've told you this before. I like to be in control, and therefore I don't like to do these kinds of things. I used to like to drink a lot, but it's not something I do on a regular basis now. And I don't think I'd ever do cannabis, not something I'm interested in. I didn't smoke cigarettes because I never knew how to inhale properly. I just, you know, it's another thing to learn. I can't do all of that. And quite frankly, I have to be in the moment. I have to be in charge. Does that mean that I have to face my anxieties and my fears? Yes, but I wish there was a way to tell people that it can, well, at least for me, they don't put me down. I mean, I can move forward.
Yeah, and I think that this is probably discussion for another day, but I think that one of the worst things that we did to the youth of this country was to remove everything that caused them anxiety.
Yes.
The tiniest thing that caused anxiety, we just simply removed it from their path. And so what they learned is that they can run and hide from the things that cause them to feel anxious instead of facing their fears, which, as it turns out, brings a lot more tools to the table for dealing with other problems.
And you've advocated in the past about letting children figure things out on their own, let them get hurt on the playground, let them, you know, obviously with with some parental controls, but not where parents hover and helicopter and do everything for their children. You're doing such a disservice. We've talked about that in the past.
That we have. And I think that the danger of allowing children to hide from everything that causes them anxiety is that they develop no skills to live in a world that's, I'm sorry, but full of things that can cause them physical and psychological harm. So it winds up creating a sense, an oversensitivity to things that otherwise would be meaningless.
You know, that's such a good point. I love this. Thank you so much, Frank. Frank Rubino on the dangers of cannabis. And boy, we went off into a myriad of different directions, but they're all tied together, which is really fascinating, Frank.
Well, I think they are. And this is what is so interesting to me about the field of psychology is that I like to think of it as it's like a giant spider web. All things are connected to each other in some way.
Frank Rubino, psychotherapist. He practices out of Plymouth, Michigan. You can find him by Googling Frank Rubino, R-U-B-I-N-O, and Psychology Today, where he has a landing page. This is the Lucy Ann Lantz Show, Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.